Good day. Welcome to a Durban Christian Centre South Ministry message. Durban Christian Centre was established by Dr. Fred and Nellie Roberts as a house of prayer for all nations and truly is a place where miracles happen. Our focus is to win the lost and to make disciples of all nations. We hope you enjoy this inspiring word from our senior pastor, Pastor Johnny Grobler.
Amen. But it's wonderful to be in the house of God today. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. I want to speak to you today about Jesus saves. He saves from the uttermost to the uttermost. And what you and I need to realize is God didn't save us halfway and then left you to struggle with the rest. When He saved you completely. And I believe that this morning the anointing of God is going to break every yoke, and everybody under the sound of my voice with a chronic illness is going to be delivered here this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Saints should not go under the yoke of the enemy, but we are free indeed. Everybody shout, I'm free indeed. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Luke 19 verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. In 1 John 3:8, the Bible says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Everybody raise your hand, say, thank you, Jesus. You are manifest to destroy the works of the devil. There's a confrontation daily between light and darkness. The Bible's very clear that you and I are on a wrestling match continuously. There's always something pressing against us, but thank God we are victorious. Hallelujah. God has given us the victory. Now, the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, the Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper. It doesn't say no weapon that has already struck you will prosper. It says no weapon formed. And here the Bible says that we can withstand in the evil day. In other words, when the enemy comes to put something against you, you can withstand him at that point and not accept his goods. Somebody say amen. You now need to understand that when the scripture reveals God, he reveals God as good and the devil is bad. God is good all the time and the devil is bad all the time. He is evil. He has wicked desires. He has destructive intentions. He is full of hatred and anger towards you. The devil does not think you are cute. He does not think you are wonderful. He is against you and he's looking for ways to destroy you. I'll preach to this. You and I need to understand that we're in a daily wrestling match. Everything is going on around us. You can never let your guard down. You can never say, well, I'm having a break. It's amazing how many Christians think they can have a break. A part-time Christian cannot overcome a full-time devil. Amen. It's amazing how many people, when they go on holiday, they let their hair down. I don't have that problem. You know, the whole year they resist. The whole year they stand strong. But when it comes to about August, that secret thing that they've been holding, they're getting excited. It's amazing how many Christians let the enemy in on Decembers and then they spend time repairing the damage from January through October. Amen. And just when things start getting good, they start feeling in their heart, August, September, October, November, December. No. You and I need to understand that if we're going to stand, you have to stand. If you're going to have to overcome, you have to be consistent. Amen. Can you say consistent? So the devil comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Jesus is good all the time. His intentions are pure and holy and just and righteous and good towards you all the time. When Jesus comes in, the devil has to get out. Somebody say hallelujah. Jesus said, I have come to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come to negotiate a peace. He didn't come to negotiate a settlement. I pray the Holy Ghost stir you this morning. Those of you who've settled where you are, say, I'm not settling. Amen. You know, Smith Wigglesworth was often criticized for his rough treatment of those seeking prayer. But he explained that he was angry with the devil and sometimes sick people got in his way. You see, you and I need to realize that we have an adversary and there's a way to overcoming. There's a purpose that God has for us. Listen, there's hundreds and thousands of people every day being destroyed, but God has anointed us, hallelujah, to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. When Jesus left, it wasn't a break for the enemy. It was his worst headache because now in his place, he's raised the church with power and authority to destroy the works of the devil. Somebody say amen. You know, shouldn't his works go unchallenged? Shouldn't what he does get challenged every day and broken down? It is said that all that evil needs to flourish is for good men to do nothing. And you and I need to realize that God has equipped us. Creation belongs to Him. And He sent the ultimate destroyer of evil in Jesus. And then in His place, He raised up another army, hallelujah, who will destroy the works of the devil. This angry, arrogant devil is against us. The Bible says that He said, I will arise. He wants to constantly arise and take authority in your life. He wants to undo Calvary. Amen. He wants to try and subvert the victory that Jesus has won for us. And every day that you and I live in defeat, we are not bringing honor to the King, to the Master, to the Ruler. God has anointed you to live in absolute victory. Somebody say amen. He says, I will arise. I will set myself towards the north. Hallelujah. I will take that place. But thank God, when the enemy thought there's going to be a power struggle, he was cast out like lightning. He fell from that place. And what the church needs to understand is that God has put you in a place of authority. Can I say it again? God has put you in a place of authority. It's about authority in the kingdom. You see, so many Christians live in a place of a beggarly Christianity. In other words, Lord, I'm defeated, but now and then give me a little bit of a break. Now and then give me a little blessing. Jesus didn't come to give you a little blessing. Jesus came to give you the authority. Amen. It's better to be the one that writes the checks than the one that asks for the check. Hallelujah. I'm just saying that by way of showing you what authority is. You know, God cast him down when Jesus won the victory. Hallelujah. And God is against your enemy. Jeremiah 51:25. Behold, I'm against you, O destroying mountain, who destroys all the earth, says the Lord, and I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain. We are all too familiar with the works of the enemy. And, you know, it's very important that you and I understand that in the spirit, God has set certain principles. If you look in the natural, in nature, nothing happens by chance. Everything has cause and effect. Amen? You know, everything. There has to be a cause. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. God has set nature like that. Why? Because in the spirit realm, it's the same thing. In the spirit realm, there is authority. There's things that are allowed and disallowed. Amen? And God has given to you and I authority. Thank God Jesus destroyed the powers of the enemy. Now, you know, it's amazing when you look at Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he didn't say, God has given me houses and lands and blessings to distribute. He said, God has given me authority. It's about gaining authority in your life. Are you with me? Now, you know, it's so important that when we hear the word of God, that we take the word of God and we apply the word of God. Because we are not sitting here, marking people. Oh, this preacher, 7 out of 10. That one, 9 out of 10. This Pastor Johnny, he came 3 out of 10. We're not here to do that. We're here to hear the word of God and apply it, because the word of God comes to you so that you can learn to walk in victory. Amen. I'm tired of beggarly Christianity. I'm tired of, you know, people thinking that they can just be footballs of the enemy. You're not the enemy's football. You're his worst nightmare. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus came to destroy. He told us, there's a scripture in 11:21. It says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. The stronger one is Jesus. I want you to know he overcame him. He destroyed all his goods. Amen. He took the keys away. And he gave the keys to you and I. I believe this is the generation that's going to learn how to walk in power and authority and complete victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, you know, the Bible says we mustn't be ignorant of the devil's devices. You know, some people try and live in victory by ignoring the enemy, by saying it's not there. The ostrich mentality. You know, as long as I'm doing good, I'll be okay. No, you have an enemy. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you notice that? Whom he may. In other words, some he may not. I've decided I'm the one that he may not. Amen. Everybody say, I'm the one that you may not. Seeking whom he may devour. In other words, which ones does he have authority over? Which ones does he have an open door to? Which ones does he have power to do what he wants to do? I'm sure that if you will think about Jesus, you'll realize today that if the devil could, he would have taken Jesus out a long time ago. But he couldn't. Amen? Jesus said he's coming, but he's got nothing in me. He had no power, no authority. And God has raised you and I to be in Christ in the same power, in the same authority, in the same victory. Amen. Now, I'm just going to flesh it out a little bit and show you something. Does somebody have a cloth or something for me, because I'm sweating for the glory of God, yeah? You know, when you look at Adam, oh, thank you, Brother Joseph. When you look at Adam, God in the beginning, the Bible says, if you look in Genesis, it says God gave him dominion. God gave him authority. When that enemy came into the garden, he was after Adam's authority. He was after his dominion. He had no authority when he came in. He could do one thing only, and that's entice, to deceive him into sin. You see, he wasn't after Adam's sinning, he was after Adam's authority. Selah. In other words, the moment Adam did what the enemy told him to do, he accepted the enemy's authority. He gave his authority away. Now, it's amazing when you look at the temptation of Jesus, it was about the same thing. Look in, it says Luke 4 verse 5, then the devil took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and the devil said to Jesus, all this things I give to you. Did he say that? What did he say? Okay, everybody read it out loud. And the devil said to him, all this. Hallelujah. Amazing. What did he say? All this? It's actually about authority. You see, everything in our life is actually about authority. Thank you, Jazz. Hallelujah. Now, he says, so Jesus, when he rose, it's amazing that when Jesus rose from the dead, he said something else. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has now been given to me. He came. You see, when the enemy said to Jesus, all this authority I give to you, Jesus didn't dispute it. He had the authority because he stole it from Adam. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't say all authority in heaven. He said, now all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Hallelujah. And when he said that, it's not just so that we can all praise him and thank him that he has all authority, but so that we can walk in that same authority. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, all authority. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, this authority is now mine. Now I'm telling you, I'm giving you the authority. When Christians pray and ask God to do something about the devil, you're mistaken. Nowhere in Scripture are Christians told to ask God to rebuke the devil. The Scripture says, you rebuke the devil. You resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. Not he'll flee from Jesus. He'll flee from you. Amen. Somebody say, he'll flee from me. So, thank God, Jesus said he will have no power. He said, I'll give you power, authority over serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In other words, when Jesus rose, there was an authority transfer. Hallelujah. That authority came to his church. The whole thing, dearly beloved, is about authority. Who is Lord? Who has the authority in your life? Now, when I look at Romans 6:16, it says, do you not know? Now, I want to show you, because, you know, we are living in a time where people come with this extreme grace preaching. In other words, you know, it doesn't matter how you live, you'll still make it. You'll still go to heaven. You see, what they don't understand is that you might get to heaven, but it'll be as through fire. You'll get there with the devil playing football with you, having all authority over your life, because you've been giving it away. When Jesus gave you authority, he gave you full authority. Do you hear me today? The least of the believers, they who believe, will cast out demons, lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. The least of the believers has authority over the devil. I always say this, there's only one kind of devil, the defeated kind. No matter where you go, they defeat it. And you and I have that authority. Now watch this. Then how come it is that believers struggle with things in their lives if you have all authority over him? Because you have all the authority, but we in ignorance give the authority away. Are you with me? Sometimes because of ignorance, you don't know the authority is yours, so you don't use it. And then because of ignorance, the enemy takes that authority because you gave it to him. Now I want to show you something. Are you in Romans chapter 6, verse 16? And do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? There's the key. Do you get that? You are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Jesus has given us the authority. But the moment you obey the enemy in any sin, in any enticement, you become his slave. He takes the authority in that area. In other words, he has the right to treat you like he wants in that area. And you and I need to understand this is a very important key. We have to realize today that this is about who will be my master, who will have authority in my life. When you understand this, you won't try and get away with sin in the back door when nobody's watching. Because you'll understand when you're sitting there with your computer in your bedroom at 2 o'clock in the morning and nobody's watching, there's somebody watching. There's somebody saying, give me authority in your life because I want to destroy you. And you know what? When you look at this, you and I need to realize that the enemy is here to try and master you, but I will not be mastered by the devil. Amen. I have decided I will lord it over him. Amen. The church is supposed to rebuke devils, resist devils, cast devils out, walk in authority over devils, and display the dominion of Jesus over their lives. Amen. Everybody raise your hand and say, everything, every victory, every authority that Jesus gained at Calvary is mine. It's never been given to the devil. It is mine. Amen. Now, when I look at the scripture and I realize how important it is, because you are slave to him, you obey, the enemy comes in with a lot of stuff to get to us. And one of the big lies is it's a small sin. There's no such thing as a small sin. And I want to show you something that, just actually blew my mind and really gave me an amazing victory. Small sins are not harmless. It's the seemingly harmless sin that's the most dangerous. Hallelujah. That's not just a small thought. That's not just a little thing. It's actually a stronghold. It's the way that Satan seeks to enter your life. And most of those strongholds enter when you are young, by violation, by unfair situations, hurts, rejections, pains, fears, abuse. Most of that comes. That's where the enemy comes to establish a stronghold. But this morning, we're shedding the light on it, and you're going to be free in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when you've been hurt, it's important to forgive. It's important to break out of that. When you repent and you submit to Jesus, you are free immediately. And you now need to understand that his salvation is there continuously all the time. Amen. What the enemy did to the church was telling, well, the moment you've got sin, now you must walk in condemnation for the rest of it. No, the moment you recognize something, bring it to him so you can be free. Amen. So God wants you to walk in complete victory. Hallelujah. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee. Even that knee, that thing that you're busy struggling with in your day-to-day life, that is not your thing to walk with. That is not your personal cross to carry. The cross to carry is dying to your own will. Doing His will. That's the yoke. It's not the disease. It's not the family troubles. It's not the turmoil in your soul. Those things you should have victory over. And you have victory over. Somebody say amen. Now, you and I need to understand that it's important to renounce the works of the devil. And I want to show you something. It actually blew my mind when I realized who the strong man is. In every life, there's a strong man that tries to come and bind you and hold you. Now, I don't know about you, but I used to think when the Bible says you bind the strong man, cast the strong man out, that the strong man is actually the worst sin, the biggest devil, the strongest devil, the most wicked devil. But then I saw something, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn here with me. Because I believe what I'm giving you today is a very pastoral and practical message. Amen. And I'm excited because I can see a church completely liberated. I can see a church walking in power and demonstration. Amen. Now, take your Bibles and turn with me. We're going to read it together. To the book of Luke chapter 11, 24. And yeah, Jesus is speaking about something that happens when a spirit is cast out. Luke 11, 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. Verse 25. And when he comes, he finds it swept, put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Notice something. That spirit that is cast out, that unclean spirit, when he goes, he says, I will return. When he comes back, the Bible doesn't say he is the most wicked, he is the strongest, he is the biggest devil. It says he goes and fetches seven others more wicked than himself. In other words, he's not the most wicked. He's not the strongest. I started realizing something. The strong man is the one that opens the door for the others to come in. That's the strong man. Because those others couldn't come in. The strong man, that spirit. And you know who you call the strong man? It's actually called a familiar spirit. It's that spirit that you are so familiar with since you were small. That's the one that's opened the door for all these others to come in. And when the Bible says he goes and fetch seven others, you know, seven doesn't mean the number seven. Seven means perfect. In other words, he fetches as many as this open door will allow into your life. So he goes, he fetches them. In other words, that strong man is that spirit that you can identify that came from the time that you were young. And most times it manifests in fear, rejection, feelings of abandonment, and, you know, anger, and all these things that can come in when you're very young. That's why, dearly beloved, it's so important that we go on an encounter. Encounters is not there for all the new converts, something for them to do. It's for you. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, it's for you, you ugly thing. Amen. Hallelujah. It's for you. It is so important to understand this. The strong man is actually that small thing that you would consider is not important at all. That is the one behind every other access that the enemy has into your life. It's him. And, you know, God started showing me this. And, of course, we have authority with him. The moment the light shines on him, he's gone. The moment revelation came, Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's why the Bible says, you know, it speaks about the armor, take on the whole armor of God. The first armor speaks on the belt of truth, because you have to know the truth about you. You have to know the truth about what God sees in your life. Because when you do, that devil has to flee. His power is broken instantly. Now, I want to show you something, and it actually just, when God showed this to me, I said, Lord, this is amazing. And, you know, at the time that God showed it to me, He gave me an object lesson, personal object lesson. How many of you love object lessons? In my own body. You know what had happened? This is why God revealed this to me. On my leg, on my shin, I had a small mole. And suddenly, about 6 weeks ago, this thing started suddenly growing, changing color. And you know, they say when that happens, it's actually cancerous. It's things that you have to go cut that thing out. So I wanted to deal with it, but I was believing God. I was laying hands on it. I was confessing my healing, and it just grew worse and worse. Eventually, it was the size of a pea. And it was an angry, purplish red. And my whole leg around it was red. All my skin was red. It was itchy. At night, it burnt like fire. I couldn't sleep for about 2-3 hours at night, just confessing the word. I believe I'm healed. No, I will not allow this in my body. And it just got worse and worse. After about 2 weeks of this, I went before the Lord. I said, God, what's going on? Why can't I? And God said, the enemy has authority in your life. That's when God showed the scripture to me. And I went and I took myself before the cross. That's why I'm saying you need to get on an encounter. This next encounter should be so fully booked that they have to use this tent. You can't even make it at Camp Hope. Are you with me? Because we have a real adversary. Everybody say it's real. Amen. Now, what I'm saying is, I then went before the Lord and I said, Lord, anything in my life? And He started showing me. And I just started repenting of them. And then He started showing me just thoughts that I had. You know, thoughts of rejection or maybe feeling inferior. And all those things are just renounced. Because how many of you know not one of those are from God? God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God says you're accepted in the beloved. God said you are perfect in His sight. God says you're His righteousness. So I went before Him. I'm glad we got a camera here. You need to turn that camera to me, brother. I went before the Lord. He'll get the message now. I went before the Lord and I dealt with these things and I found the strong man. It was a little thing that happened when I was young. And I brought it before the light. And the moment I did, the moment the Holy Ghost revealed it to me, I felt a cleansing and I felt an authority come. I took this finger and I laid it on that angry mole and I rebuked it in the name of Jesus. I cast it out of my body. I said, you got no more authority. I cast it out. Within a week, this is all that's left of it. Now, you can say, Pastor Johnny showed you his leg. Can you zoom in on this? Not on me. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's not me that was cast out. It's the thing that was cast out of me. Switch to that cam. What's his camera number? What's your camera number, brother? 5. Camera 5. Yes. Close up. See there. You've got to say yes. I want you to get the revelation. You see, there's no need for you to continuously be dominated by that spirit of infirmity that's against you. The cross is the answer. Jesus is the Savior. Hallelujah. And they who the Son sets free are free indeed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, I preached this message and a lady in our church sent me this message just last week. Sent me this SMS. I want to read it to you as a testimony. Dearest Pastor Johnny and Patricia, firstly, I want to thank God for you being in my life. I just want to share an awesome testimony. Then she goes on to tell about how awesome I am, but I spared you that. For most of my life, I've been struggling with migraine headaches. I've been to clinics on different medications, even been to many altar calls at crusades since I've been saved 22 years now. I started fasting after your Sunday sermon, knowing and claiming breakthrough in my life, spiritually, financially, my ministry, as well as in my family. Yesterday, while praying in tongues, the Lord brought to remembrance when I was very young, my dad used to hit my mom. It started from then, trying as a young girl to cope with the tension. I called it by name and it manifested and came out. I was set free from the spirit causing migraine headache immediately. I also struggled with insomnia, and last night I slept well. You see, none of us will invite a spirit of poverty. You won't. None of us will invite a spirit of infirmity. You won't. None of us will invite a spirit of destruction. You won't. But that old familiar friend of feeling rejected, that old familiar friend of feeling, you know, abused, and you're there and you don't know, that's actually holding the door open. And when you close the door, the enemy goes immediately. I'm amazed at every testimony that I'm getting from this. And that's what happened to me immediately. It was instant. There wasn't a fight. He didn't even fight back. He was gone. The only devils that fight back are the ones that are not the strong man. Because the strong man's holding the door open for them. Oh my Lord, this is revelation. When the light shines, it's gone immediately. And you can trust the Holy Ghost to reveal to you what it is. Some of you have been struggling for long with migraine headaches. Now we spoke about that. Or with some kind of addiction, or with anything that you've been struggling with, or you got sugar diabetes, or any of these diseases, in the name of Jesus, their power's been broken right now. I'm canceling those assignments against your body. Come on, just raise your hand. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. You came to set me free. You have set me free. Your blood speaks of forgiveness and liberty and freedom for me. I thank you that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I am whole. I prosper body, soul, and spirit. Everything that is in me has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now in Jesus' name, Lord, I renounce the devil. I renounce this sin. I renounce thoughts of fear and rejection. In the name of Jesus, come and cleanse me, Holy Ghost. Come and reveal to me. Show me, Lord, in Jesus' name. I invite you. Thank you for revealing truth to me. Thank you for your spirit that moves in me right now. In Jesus' name. Now, before I go on, it would be wonderful if I can report to you that I prayed and within 2 seconds of praying, all was done. But it's not the truth. The truth is, it took me 2 or 3 days of just opening my heart before Him continuously. And the Holy Ghost taking me deeper and deeper. The one thing you must do is love the truth. Lift your hand, say, Holy Spirit, give me a heart that loves truth. Show me the truth of my life. I'll not hide it. I'll not turn away from it. But Jesus, you're my Savior. You're my Redeemer. You're my Deliverer. And I choose you. I choose your presence. I choose your holiness. I choose your righteousness. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're my Savior. You're my Deliverer. And today, Lord, I give this life to you. Everything that is within me. I withhold nothing from you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you're my Savior. You're my Deliverer. In Jesus' name, I renounce the works of the devil. I renounce every stronghold. And I pray now, Holy Ghost, reveal to me. Thank you that victory is mine. Thank you that deliverance is mine. In the name of Jesus. Now just keep that hand raised. Father, now in Jesus' name, you've given me authority over these spirits. And in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. I break your power. Lord, I thank you for revelation that comes now. I command every dark thing to be exposed. I command every hidden thing to be revealed. I thank you now for the blood, Lord, that speaks for everyone here now. By faith, I sprinkle the blood of redemption, the blood of salvation, the blood of deliverance, the blood of Jesus on every life. And I thank you. I proclaim liberty to every captive. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. Go from these lives. You're not welcome. Father, I set an assignment of the presence of God over their lives, that they shall be free indeed in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I rebuke every infirmity. Those of you with chronic illnesses, lift your hand. I rebuke that chronic illness. I rebuke that sugar diabetes. I rebuke that kidney condition. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, you come out. Loose the people of God right now. Loose the people of God. Be free in Jesus' name. Thank you now, Lord. I release that yoke destroying, burden breaking, anointing of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Everybody lift your hands and say, I'm free indeed. Jesus set me free. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank him for your liberty. Thank him for your freedom. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Come on. I need 10 people to give him a thanksgiving of praise for the next 10 seconds. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, you can visit us on our Durban Christian Center Bluff or Wentworth Facebook page, or contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you, and God bless.